Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Three's a Crowd by Kate Gavin, narrated by Piper Goodeve. Chapter 1. Almost home? Switching to speaker, Zoe Tyler tossed the phone on her bed. She groaned with delight as she lifted her sweater over her head. Between the groan and the fabric muffling her ears, she missed her boyfriend's response. Sorry, Jake, what was that?
I said I'm running late.
He let out a sigh.
Ian needs to approve some materials for a pitch to a client tomorrow, and I need to wait around until they're printed and take them to him. I might be able to meet you at the bar for round two.
Ian, Jake's boss at the firm Wexler Investments, had been an almost unending source of tension between Zoe and Jake for the past 4 months. Working as Ian's second assistant, he had come home late more evenings than not, and had missed a few too many dates. Jake typically made an effort to take Zoe out to their favorite local bar for weekly trivia night, but it looked like he was canceling on that tonight, too. Zoe gripped the jeans she was about to change into and held them in her lap as she collapsed back on the bed, disappointment washing over her. It's fine.
Well, when you say that, I know it's not actually fine, he replied,
his voice holding a hint of sharpness.
I am sorry, babe.
We can just go next week. His voice brightened as he replied.
Definitely. I love you.
Love you too, she murmured. He'd already hung up and probably hadn't even heard her reply. She tossed the jeans across the bed, covering her eyes with her arm. Another night of Jake bailing on plans. Joy. She sat up and looked down at her mostly naked body. The black underwear with a hint of lace contrasted starkly with her pale skin. Zoe figured she had two choices: get into some comfy clothes, open a bottle of wine, and binge watch some TV, or she could make different plans. Both options were appealing, but she had been in the mindset to go out, so going out was what she'd do. She texted her best friend, Mia. Let's go out. Corks? Meet in 15 minutes? Within a minute, Mia replied with several wine glass and smiley face emojis, followed up with, see you there. Zoe quickly dressed by putting on the discarded jeans and a black and red flannel shirt. She checked herself in the bathroom mirror, and then was on her way to their favorite wine bar, Corks. After a quick but chilly 10-minute walk, Zoe entered Corks and found Mia sitting off to the right at a high-top table. Her curly, dark brown hair was pulled into a loose bun high on top of her head, a few strands escaping at the base of her neck. The pendant light above the table cast an orange-red glow on Mia's warm brown skin. A glass of dark red liquid was set in front of the empty chair. Pinot Noir? Zoe asked by way of greeting. Mia smiled widely, showing off a dimple on her left cheek. Of course, what else do you ever order? Zoe chuckled. True. She shrugged off her coat and hung it on the back of her chair before sitting. I've also already ordered hummus and a margarita flatbread.
Oh, that sounds delicious. I love you.
Again, of course, Mia said with a wink. Then she leaned forward and lowered her voice. Before we get into things, do you see that woman sitting at the bar, two seats from the corner? Zoe turned to the woman in question. She looked to be in her 50s, with bright, obviously bottled blonde hair. She had dark-rimmed glasses and was drinking white wine. Zoe could only see her profile, so she wasn't sure whether she should recognize the woman or not. Yeah, what about her? Doesn't she look like Mrs. Silver? Zoe furrowed her brow at the unfamiliar name. Who? She asked. Mrs. Silver, junior year English teacher? Zoe had known Mia since they were sophomores in high school and had sat next to each other in chemistry class. Oh, Zoe replied, dragging the word out. She glanced over at the woman again, and now that she had the idea in her head, the woman did kind of look like their former teacher. She does, a little at least. Has that big mole on her cheek, though. Mrs. Silver didn't have one.
Mia gave the woman another look, squinting as if that would make her figure it out quicker. Yeah, you're right. Wouldn't it be awkward to drink at the same bar as a teacher? I hate running into people that you kinda know and should probably say hi to, but you always know those conversations are awkward as fuck. Zoe chuckled. Remember how she always had the radio set to a classical station and played it in the background? Like listening to that would ever make talking about Romeo and Juliet better. True, Mia replied, holding up her glass. Zoe clinked her glass with Mia's and took a sip of her wine, enjoying the hints of cherry on her tongue. So what's up? What's with the last-minute invite? Not that I'm upset by it or anything, she said with a grin. I'll always say yes to wine. Jake and I were supposed to go out tonight. Oh yeah, it's Wednesday, trivia night. What happened? He was stuck at work. Didn't think he'd make it in time. I told him to just forget about it. Didn't want to sit at home alone again, so I hit you up instead. Well, I'm flattered. Zoe replayed what she'd said in her head and cringed. Sorry, that kinda came out like you were my last resort or something. I totally didn't mean it that way. Mia chuckled. It's okay, really. Besides, I was just going to restart that sweater I'm trying to knit for like the fourth time. You saved me from spending a night of wanting to tear my hair out. I thought knitting would give me a relaxing break, but honestly, sometimes I'd rather study instead. The waitress placed their food and plates at the center of the table. Here you go. Can I get you two anything else? No thanks, Mia replied, already reaching for a plate and a slice of flatbread. When the waitress walked away, Mia said, This looks so good. You better grab some for yourself before I hog it all. Don't have to tell me twice, Zoe replied with a smile. She grabbed a carrot stick and swiped it through the hummus. It gave a satisfying snap as she took a bite. So, how is school going? Mia had just started her doctoral program in clinical psychology, which had added to Zoe's appeal of moving to Indianapolis for Jake's job. Zoe and Mia hadn't lived in the same city since they graduated high school in Evansville, Indiana, about 3 hours' drive south. Oh, it's fine, so far. Trying to enjoy the calm before it all gets too hectic. First semester is never a good indication for how things are gonna go. Especially if you consider how your first semester of college went, Zoe said, her eyebrows lifting as she took a sip of wine. Mia held up her hands. So maybe I enjoyed the freedom of being away from home a little too much. Zoe cleared her throat. You mean partied a little too much? So much that you came close to failing a class? In my defense, I didn't fail. And you have to admit, I got my shit together after that. Zoe nodded. You did. Mama Pat would have given you a talking to if you hadn't. Mia's mom had always been a stickler for getting good grades and not slacking off, but not in the super overbearing way, but in the wanting her kids to do well and succeed kind of way. She had even taken a hands-on approach, more than Zoe's parents ever had, helping Zoe and Mia study for tests and editing their papers. Oh, yeah. She probably would have marched on over to Cincinnati and sat with me in the library until I got all my work done. They shared a good laugh at that image and finished off their wine. The waitress stopped by to confirm another round. Once she brought their drinks, Zoe took a sip of hers, while Mia just spun hers around by the stem and stared at the glass, a sign that something was definitely up. Zoe moved her plate to the side and put her elbow on the table, resting her chin in her hand. Okay, hit me with it. What's wrong? Mia opened her mouth, but closed it just as quickly. She squirmed in her seat, sitting up a little straighter as she continued spinning her wine glass. She licked her lips. I don't want to upset you, but I hate to see you so disappointed. And, well, I'll just come out with it. Do you think something else is going on? Something else like what? Zoe asked, her mouth turning down in a frown. I'm sure it's not the case, so don't get upset. But do you think that maybe Jake is seeing someone else? Zoe dropped her arm to the table and stared at Mia with wide eyes. Like cheating on me? What? No way. Why would you think that? Zoe sat back and crossed her arms over her chest. Mia held up her hands. I'm not saying he is, but you've told me about all the times he's gotten home late or skipped out on plans. I was just throwing it out there. After taking a sip of wine, she sighed. I know he loves you, and I don't really get that vibe from him. Just be careful. Zoe's stiff posture relaxed, and she uncrossed her arms. I appreciate that, but he's never done anything to make me think that. She leaned forward and ran a hand through her hair. Yes, he's been a little flaky about date nights, and he comes home late more nights than I'd like. But his boss truly sucks. He's an ass. I met him at the company picnic on Labor Day. Jake never got to enjoy himself or spend time with me because his boss always had him getting him something or writing down details of any prospective clients. Ugh, I don't know how he deals with it. Zoe knew there was more. But don't leave me hanging on what you really want to say. Mia reached across the table to take Zoe's hand. But honey, when is enough enough? Zoe sighed and squeezed Mia's hand in return. I know. I've brought it up a bit before, but I don't want him to think that I don't support him or his work. He says working for this guy could really open doors for him, and that if he can get through a year, then he can easily get promoted or move on to someplace better. I get that, I really do. But I don't want you to keep giving and getting nothing in return. If he makes you feel shitty sometimes, you need to talk with him and tell him that. She smiled at Mia, always grateful for her protective side. I'll try. Do more than try. Do it. Aye, aye, Captain, Zoe replied, giving Mia a mock salute. Smart ass. Mia rolled her eyes. You know I'm always here if you need to talk, especially if it's here, she replied as she grinned and took the last carrot. Zoe chuckled. I'll keep that in mind. After finishing their wine and parting with a hug, Zoe began her walk home. The wind had picked up, so she pulled up the collar of her jacket and wrapped her arms around herself. She replayed the last bits of her conversation with Mia. She had never even thought about the possibility of Jake cheating, but Mia had planted the seed. What if he was, though? Would she even recognize the signs? He wasn't being secretive, and he never tried to hide his phone. She knew he still wanted her, if yesterday's quickie before work was anything to go by. She shook her head at the thought. No way. He couldn't be cheating. Still, he was absent and consumed by work. Each time he bailed on their plans, whether they were scheduled date nights or just dinner at home, it hurt. It made her feel like maybe she wasn't enough for him, that no matter what she did, cooked for him, gave him gifts, let his career guide their life, he'd never make her needs a priority. If she was honest with herself, she had given thought to what her life would be like if she ended things with Jake. But she loved him. She just needed to talk with him, let him know how she was feeling. Admittedly, not her favorite thing to do, or something she was good at. If she had to talk to someone that was in any way confrontational, she'd mentally rehearse exactly what she wanted to say. But when the time came to say it, did she say any of her important points? Nope. Her mind would just go completely blank. As she stood in front of their apartment door, she took a deep breath before putting the key in the lock. The lamp in the living room was off, but she thought she had turned it on before she left. Maybe she'd forgotten since she had rushed out to meet Mia. She took off her coat and shoes before calling out, "Jake?" "In here," he replied, sounding like he was in the kitchen. She turned the corner and let out a breath. The sight before her brought a smile to her lips and a warmth to her chest. Candles flickered on their small kitchen table, and plates, silverware, and an open bottle of her favorite wine were set out. Jake was taking out food containers from their go-to Thai restaurant. "What's all this?" Jake looked up with a wide smile and set a container onto the counter. He walked up to Zoe and gave her a soft kiss.
"Hey, I wanted to make it up to you for bailing on trivia. You haven't eaten, have you?"
"Not really. Mia and I just had appetizers at Quark's." His blue eyes shone with relief.
"Awesome. I got you pad thai and a double order of shrimp rolls."
Zoe wrapped her arms around him and melted into his embrace. "You always knew the way to my heart was with shrimp rolls."
"Well, when you ordered them on our first date and refused to share, I kinda got that idea."
He hugged her tighter and whispered,
"I am sorry."
She kissed him below his ear and pulled back, stroking her thumb across the stubble along his chin.
"I know, but let's talk about that later. I'm ready to eat." "No surprise there," he said with a chuckle.
Zoe shoved him away and sat down.
"Oh, shut up."
Jake put the containers on the table, and Zoe immediately snatched up the one with the shrimp rolls. She put a couple on her plate and handed the container to Jake. She almost wanted to say, "See, sometimes I can be good at sharing." As she added the pad thai, Jake piled his high with red curry chicken. They ate and talked about their day, and Zoe found her frustration softening. It wasn't gone completely, just hanging around in the back of her mind. Surprises like this always reminded her how thoughtful and sweet Jake could be. That had been one of the things that had drawn her in when they started dating in their junior year of college at Ball State in Muncie. When she was stressed out by tests or big presentations, he'd show up to her door with something to make her smile. It wasn't even the food or little presents themselves that made things better. It was that he was able to read her moods and know she was struggling, and then knew exactly what she needed to brighten her day. As they cleaned up, Jake explained his boss's ridiculous demand earlier in the night. "Guess this would be as good a time as any to talk to him," Zoe thought. The plates were loaded in the dishwasher and leftovers stowed in the fridge. Zoe leaned back against the counter and crossed her arms.
"Can we talk about that?"
Jake straightened, wiping his hands on a towel before tossing it on the counter. His slight frown told her he had anticipated this conversation.
"Of course. Go for it."
Zoe dropped her arms and started fiddling with her fingers. She would be a horrible poker player. Her anxiety was always front and center, manifesting in some form of fidgeting.
"You know I support you, and I know that this job could give you so many opportunities later on."
She sighed. "It's just getting a little tiring that you come home late so much. It feels like you cancel plans all the time now." Jake stood in front of her and rested his hands on her hips.
"I know, and I hate that that's what's happened, especially the last couple of months. It's like Ian gets this perverse joy out of knowing he can make my life as miserable as possible, because I'll just suck it up and do what he wants. This morning, he had me get him this huge bag of trail mix, and I had to take out all the raisins and almonds."
"That sounds like a great use of your time," Zoe muttered. How was doing petty tasks like that going to open doors? She lightly gripped his forearms and looked down at her hands as she rubbed the sleeve of his button-up between her thumb and forefinger. She had bought it for his birthday last year, and she loved how smooth the fabric felt. Clearing her throat, she asked, "Can't you just tell him that it's putting a strain on your personal life?" He scoffed.
"I wish, babe. He'd just say I don't have the drive for the job and tell me to quit. Hell, he would maybe even fire me on the spot."
"He's such a dick. I don't know how you can stand it."
"1 year. I just need to stick it out for 1 year. Then I can get the analyst job and I'll be set. I can make my mark with that team and just keep moving up. I told you they mostly promote from within. This is my chance."
Jake's favorite professor at Ball State had hooked him up with this job at Wexler, the best investment firm in Indianapolis.
Professor Friedman had assured him that working as Ian's assistant would then secure him a spot as a portfolio analyst within a year. Zoe hated the fact that Ian seemed to completely take advantage of Jake, but she tried to stay quiet and support him. Badmouthing the situation would take away some of Jake's excitement for the future. I get it, I really do. It's not just the canceled plans and late nights, though. I feel like I have to do everything around here. Cooking, cleaning, laundry, shopping. You say you'll help on the weekends, but then you end up telling me it's your only time to relax. And none of that shit gets done. It's hard. I'm sorry. I've been an ass letting you pick up my slack. I'll try to do better, he murmured. I promise. That's all I ask. Only time would tell if he would keep that promise. Her initial, albeit weak, attempts to get him to help more never seemed to result in him pulling his weight for long. Maybe this time she'd stand up for herself a bit more if she didn't see a change. Adulting sucks, he said with a sigh. Zoe snorted. You got that right. He cupped her face in his hands, forcing her to maintain eye contact. I love you. And there it was, proof to Zoe that he wasn't cheating and never would. The soft yet intense look in his bright blue eyes, eyes that always revealed what he was truly thinking. He loved her and only her. He had never given her any reason to think there would be someone else, and she hated that she had questioned it for even a second. His recent behavior was all due to work and nothing more. Now they would just have to work through that, and everything would be right in their world. The corner of Zoe's mouth quirked up. I love you too. Jake smiled and leaned in for a kiss, hesitating right before their lips met, as if checking to see if she was still upset with him. Zoe closed the distance for a slow kiss and wrapped her arms around his waist. Before either of them could deepen it, Jake pulled her into his body for a tight hug and rested his head on the top of hers. Zoe closed her eyes as she listened to the comforting sound of his heartbeat. After a few moments, Jake pulled back and met her gaze. Let's go to bed. I can make it up to you even more, he said with a grin. Zoe chuckled and let him guide her down the hallway. Chapter 2. Padding into the kitchen, Paige Newbanks rubbed her eyes and yawned so widely that her jaw popped on both sides. Even though she'd spent the last week working as a barista at a local coffee shop, Craft Cafe, she still struggled with the early morning shifts. She didn't hate mornings. Hate was such a strong word, wasn't it? She tolerated them and knew they were a necessary evil in the world of coffee. And until she could find a more permanent job, it would be a necessary evil in her world as well. As she pulled a box of cereal off the top of the refrigerator, her roommate, well, more like acquaintance from college that was letting her crash at her place, cleared her throat behind Paige. She turned and shook the box. Hey, Liz, what's up? Want some cereal? She asked before grabbing a bowl from the cupboard. Liz's eyes darted around the room and landed everywhere but on Paige. Liz shook her head as she sat on a stool at the breakfast bar. We need to talk. Paige's arm stopped in midair as she poured cereal into her bowl. The phrase everyone dreads. Setting the box on the counter, she braced herself for what Liz was about to say. She ran through anything that could be wrong, but she drew a blank. I clean up after myself, buy food, and give her money for rent. I even pack up my sleeping bag every morning before I leave for work. Yes, she slept in a sleeping bag in the den, because Liz's apartment had only one bedroom. She usually laid it on the floor between Liz's desk and the bookshelves. She knew it probably wasn't ideal for Liz that she was staying here, but she couldn't think of anything that would cause a huge issue. Okay, what's up? Paige asked. I'm sorry to do this, but you need to move out. Brandon's lease is ending, and instead of him finding a new place, I asked him to move in. Liz picked at a crack in the countertop with her thumb. Paige felt the blood drain from her face. Shit, I wasn't expecting this, at least not this soon. She didn't know the city well at all, or anyone in it. Well, she knew one other person, but she couldn't just show up on his doorstep. When? Paige whispered. End of the month? Fuck, fuck, fuck. She checked the date on her watch. But it's the 23rd, she choked out. Paige gripped the counter, trying to keep herself steady. She felt the sting of tears, but willed them away. She racked her brain for places she could look, and wondered if she'd be able to find something so last minute. Then she remembered the time of year. And Thanksgiving's tomorrow. Do you know how hard it's going to be to find a place? I know, it sucks. Honestly, I didn't think you'd still be here. Okay, ouch. It had only been a couple of weeks. When she'd asked to stay, Liz had been sympathetic and told her she could stay as long as she needed. She thought she'd have more time, at least a month or two, not just 2 weeks. Her heart beat faster as her mind spiraled. How would she find a place that quickly? The only reason she had to crash with Liz in the first place was because during her initial search, so many apartments had waiting lists, or she just couldn't afford them, not with her current job and lack of savings. Fuck, what if I don't make enough for an apartment? Stupid requirements to make 3 times the rent? She might need to job hunt before she could even think about apartment hunting. She could live in her car if necessary, but it was November and already close to freezing overnight. Her stomach churned as her mind played negative thought over negative thought. But she really had no choice. It was Liz's place, after all. Fine, I'll start looking after work today. Great. Well, I need to head out. Let's get pizza for dinner tonight, she called out over her shoulder as she walked out the door. Pizza? Who wanted to think about pizza right now? Paige stared at the cereal in her bowl. She had completely lost her appetite, but knew she needed to eat something. Starving and thinking about food for an entire shift was never very fun. She sat on the stool Liz had just vacated and mindlessly ate, each spoonful feeling like she'd swallowed a rock. What the hell am I gonna do? Her shift at the coffee shop started just as her morning had. Shitty. She had gotten 2 out of her first 5 orders wrong, and she'd just dropped a gallon of skim milk, splashing it onto her feet and all over the floor. Paige, meet me in my office, now. Her manager and owner of Craft Cafe, Rebecca, said firmly. Her shoulders slumped as she stood after wiping up the last of the milk. Great. She's probably going to fire me, she thought. After tossing the soaked rag into the dirty linen bag, she stepped into Rebecca's office. Rebecca closed the door behind her and crossed her arms in front of her chest. Tell me what's going on. It's like your head's in the clouds today. You've been doing great since you started. Until today, that is. Paige's eyes widened and she held up her hands. I'm so sorry. This isn't like me. It's just, I had a rough start to the day is all. I promise to get my focus back. Please, please don't fire me. I need this job. I swear I won't mess up again. Tears pricked at her eyes, but she refused to let them fall. Not in front of her boss. She could break down later. Now wasn't the time. Rebecca stared at her without saying a word, as if wondering if Paige was worth her time, or if she should just fire her on the spot. She relaxed her arms at her sides and stepped closer to Paige, her expression softening as she met Paige's gaze. I'm not firing you, Paige. Is everything okay? Paige swallowed against the lump in her throat and took a deep breath. Yeah, everything's fine. She tried smiling, but she was sure it was coming across as more of a grimace. Can I go? She asked as she gestured toward the door. Paige needed to get out of there before she let her emotions get the best of her. Rebecca nodded. Yep, get back out there.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?